Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you very much, Mr. Christopher Fritchie and the gentlemen of the band. I feel all peppy now. We should have been dancing. Won't you please greet somebody close to you and say good morning? You don't have to hug or shake hands. Just say hi and greet with your smile. Thank you. Our theme for December is happiness and fulfillment. And we began last week with talking about the role that forgiveness plays in our happiness and fulfillment. And this week, our topic is the will to live. It's based on the idea that there is something in us that lives and wants to live, and wants to express itself, and discover, and create. And not only that, it shows up in us, this something, in endless ways, unique ways, both through you and through me. And it's never done with its desire to express and to live. And as our awareness grows of this something inside of us, we begin to consider different things. We might start to wonder, what does it mean to be me? What does it mean to exist? What does it mean to be able to create and to choose? And what is it that is causing me to be able to do all of these things? And the more we inquire into that, things start to change. It might have been that before I was aware that there was something living in me, I might have just said, well, this is the way I am. Take it or leave it. But then I start this inquiry, and then I might say, this is the way I have been right up until this exact moment. And that which lives in me has a will to express even more. That life that is in me has infinite options and possibilities for me to try on, to explore, to grow into. It's never done. Not now, and not at any age. At all times, it continues to want to express itself, even in the presence of substantial blocks. It's as if it has a relentless will to be what it is in us. What are the blocks that prevent this life within us from being what it is, from doing what it does? Well, we have to think about that. We say there is no power that is equal to omnipotence. We say there is no something that is competing with that which is omnipresent. We say, there is nothing other than this one life. So, any blocks that exist, well, they must have the power that we give to them. That's why we say, these blocks exist within our own consciousness, and they are not a product of the life that we call the thing itself. Now, today I'm not talking about the blocks that exist in life. I'm not talking about the inequalities in society. I'm not talking about the blocks imposed by unjust systems. I'm talking about the blocks that exist in our own selves. In the ancient Raja Yoga philosophy, there's talk of five inner blocks. that can interfere with the expression, the presentation of our true selves. And the first block is ignorance, spiritual ignorance of our true nature, in other words. You know, like not knowing that there is something in us that lives, something that is greater than what we are, something that is greater than circumstances, something that is greater than challenges, something that is greater than age, something that is greater than history, something that is greater than time, and something that is greater than space. And not knowing, understanding the magnificence of this something, and not knowing that comes from not courting it. I love that word, courting. Isn't that lovely? It means dating. And you know how it is in the beginning of dating. Oh, you stop at nothing to make an impression, to get close, right? You remember? Nobody? Well, I was remembering when Kevin and I were courting. You see, I can't tell this now because he's not here this week. Oh, I remember very well. You know, do anything. So he heard that I was training for cycling, and he said, I'd like to train cycling with you. And I said, very well. Meet you at Andy's Market. He shows up on a bike that has a flat tube and tassels on the handlebar. And it occurred to me, I said, this might not be about cycling. And then you know how it goes once you've been together for a while. Then the courting has to become more intentional, more mindful. You've got to be more conscious of it and bring it into expression. You see, spiritual ignorance can come from innocent neglect, forgetfulness, you know, but not creating a permanent space for it in our lives. You know, like our staff, we have staff prayer Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the days that most of us are here in the week at the same time, and we ring a bell to remind us to go to prayer. And I notice when the bell rings, how many times the voice rises up in me, I'm too busy for holiness. Do you see what I mean? Oh, just take it for granted. Take the relationship for granted. And then through ordinary innocent neglect, it happens. Now the other four blocks come from this first one. Spiritual ignorance of our true self may very well be the cause of self-centeredness. You know, not understanding that the life that lives in me is the life that lives in you, that we share the same life, that I am you and you are me and we are one. Because if I knew that, I would have no basis for treating you poorly. If I knew that, I would see that what I do to the planet, I do to me, and what I do to me, I do to you, and so it goes. When I don't see my oneness with all life, I might even be tempted to use the creative power of my mind for selfish reasons without any care for the consequences of how it turns out for other people or the impact on other beings. I might, because of my ignorance of my true nature. And the third is attachment. Spiritual ignorance of my true nature may cause me to attach to things outside of me as the source of my fulfillment and happiness. It could happen. Perhaps you've heard these words, thou shalt have no gods before God. Exodus. It's the story of the people who were brought out of slavery into freedom. And when they were brought into freedom, They were given instructions for how to remain free. Very clear instructions. First of all, the instruction says, hey, now that you're free, don't turn to other things for your fulfillment. Don't turn to anything that is on the earth and nothing that is in the water, nothing above and nothing below. In fact, it says, and don't bow down yourself to things. Don't make them superior to you. In other words, don't put anything in first place in your life other than God. Not money, not supernatural powers, not possessions, nothing. Because those attachments will consistently lead you away from your true self. And not only will it be a problem for you, but it will set up a cultural norm that will repeat itself for generations and generations and generations, because the children learn from what they see. And if you know the story, you know what the people did. Just the opposite. It's a story for our time. Spiritual ignorance of our true nature can also lead to aversion. In other words, rejecting of what is our true nature, rejecting the truth of what we know. Well, why would we reject our true nature? Well, there are a number of reasons, including the strong, powerful, magnetic pull of the group mind. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you go with what is popular, even though you know it's not quite right. Even though you know it's taking you away from what is authentically true in your soul. Yes, I know I should not kill, and here are the reasons when it's acceptable. Yes, I know you should not lie, and here are the reasons when it's advisable and actually beneficial. See, aversion to the truth. Now, we'll come back to the group mind in just a moment, but I want to just tell you a side story. I was having breakfast with Rabbi George Gittleman, and we were talking about the Ten Commandments, and he said, did you notice that one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not covet? You know, he says, and it's kind of tame in comparison to all the others, which are don't kill, don't this, don't, you know. Why do you think, he says, that there is this instruction, don't go after other people's stuff. Don't set your mind on getting somebody else's partner. Why do you think it's there? I said, why, Rabbi? He said, well, because when you break that commandment, it leads to the breaking of all the others. Oh, man, all the lights went on. Of course, I understand that. Oh, when I don't know who I am, oh, what I won't do to get what I want. I'll even pretend to not know the truth. And the last one, spiritual ignorance of my true self can lead to fear of death. Which is a whole Sunday, it's a whole 6 month topic on its own. You know, it's the idea that when we don't know our true selves to be part of that immortal, eternal, omnipresent life, then I might start to think of myself as being temporary, limited. And that can really steal away the joy of being here in this moment with a kind of innocent excitement about what that life wants to do, see, experience, express next. Here. Now. Another ancient system of philosophy, Tantra, much older than our science of mind, says that, yeah, and there are five illusions that distract us from our true nature. Now, these will sound familiar to you if you've ever taken classes over here. We say them in our own way, and there are wonderful ideas that ought to make us pause, because there are ideas about our identity. So here they are. I'll just read them to you. Here's how we would say them in our tradition. What distracts us? The illusion that you exist in one particular space and place, rather than in all places, everywhere. The illusion that you exist in this fleeting moment rather than in all times. The illusion that fulfillment and happiness comes from anything outside of you rather than that which is alive in you. The illusion that you do not have access to divine wisdom. The illusion that your consciousness is not creative. Whew. It's a lot. I know. I get it. It takes mindful remembering to stay on track with it. And that's what our tradition is about. To daily turn from illusion to return to our true identity. So that every day, as best as we can, we think about and recognize that life within. And every day, as best as we can, we remind ourselves of its indwelling nature. So, you know, the way you can do that, maybe you speak to yourself first thing in the morning. Or you speak to yourself last thing at night, saying silently in your own mind. Or a beautiful way to do it is to silently say something to yourself before each meal. And you might say something like this: there is that within me which is not limited by time. There is that within me which is not limited by space. There is that within me which is alive and connected to all. There is that within me which is connected to divine wisdom. There is that within me which is creative, powerful, unlimited, and free. And I might even add to it the words of our founder who said the same thing in his own way. There is only one life. That life is God. That life is perfect. And that life is my life now. And then from that awareness, make the choices for my life. Now, we may not always feel like there is real freedom in choice. And in some regards, that is true. You know, I'm never going to be 6 foot tall and blonde and blue eyes. I'm just not. It's not an option. I'm never going to sing like Christopher sings in my dreams, you know. I'm not talking about those kind of conditions. Let's put that aside for a moment and go back to talking again about the blocks that exist inside of us. You know, the ones we give power to through our acceptance when we ingest them and they become part of who we are and we agree with them. Now, maybe I cannot do anything about my height or my voice, but what can I do about my acceptance? I said I would come back to group mind, and here it is. It's also known as herd mentality or mob mentality. It's also known as the consciousness of the human race, and it is governed by the law of averages, and it has a powerful and magnetic pull. So powerful is its pull that it can cause a person, if they're not paying attention, it can cause a person to stop thinking for themselves. It can cause a person who's not paying attention to lose their will to express because it's easier to go with the crowd. It can cause a person to lose their zest for life and feel the hopelessness of compliance. It can cause a person to feel powerless to move against the substantial power and tide of the group mind. Now, the group mind creates a set of illusions of its own, and identifying them and spotting them is the pathway to freedom. It's opening the door to waking up to powerfulness again. Now, what are the illusions? You can probably think of them yourself. Well, I'm going to share with you ones I think are created in group mind, like this one. There are very specific ways of being that are normal and everything else is not allowed. Any way of showing up that is outside of the normal is dangerous. There are privileges that must not be disturbed. Without possessions, there are limitations to happiness and fulfillment. If something has been so for a very long time, it must be correct. You must fit in if you want to be happy and accepted and okay. You get the idea. Now, every now and then, a voice emerges from sometimes the most unlikely places, from right there in the group mind, and it emerges to remind us not to fall for the hypnotism. You know, for example, like Jodie Foster, who said, "Normal is not something to aspire to, it's something to get away from." Or Angelina Jolie, who said, "If you don't get out of the box you've been raised in, you won't understand how much bigger the world is." Or we can go far back in time. Voltaire said, "Every person is the creature of the age in which they live. Very few are able to raise themselves above the ideas of the time." Voltaire didn't meet us. Because I learned it right here at the Center for Spiritual Living, that yes, we can raise ourselves. Yes, we can. It is possible. I was taught, "Edward, don't you dare accept the idea that you cannot escape your conditioning. Don't fall for that." I was taught about a power in me that lives in me, and I was invited to imagine it working through me to create possibilities I could never even have thought of. I was invited to imagine that I was fueled from within by a creative genius, and I was taught to faithfully turn to that life within and to live from it and from nothing else. And I was invited to be in that attitude of mind in the present moment for right now, and I'm trying to remember that and stay with that and not forget that. I'm remembering a beautiful old book, one of my favorites, Take Your Time, and the author says, "When I get an opportunity to do something enjoyable, to attend a good play, an interesting movie, or a fast soccer match, or a game of tennis, I do enjoy it. But I don't let my mind dwell on the event before it happens. And if something requires me to drop my personal plans, I can do so without any lingering disappointments." Well, "I'm going to make a tall claim," he writes. "I no longer know what it is to be disappointed. I have lost the capacity for disappointment." That is a wonderful development, and it comes through training the mind to not have rigid likes and dislikes. Whoa. Now, I cannot claim to be disappointment-free. But I did notice that holding my likes and dislikes a little more gently has contributed to more happiness and fulfillment. But more important than that, holding my likes and dislikes more gently has allowed me to see how much of my likes and dislikes come from the group mind. From other people's thinking of how I should be, of what I should be indignant about. You know, it's an interesting thing about the group mind. I notice that it's not the people who follow along blindly and fit in who inspire me. Oh, no. It's the ones who reach out to catch the vision of their uniqueness. They inspire me to catch hold of my own authentic expression and to stop copying the world. And you know, I don't need such a person to be a movie star like Jodie Foster or Angelina Jolie or to invent something remarkable. The person I'm talking about might be sitting next to you. It might be you. I'm talking about people who dare to be themselves because they know what's alive in them. And the freshness of their unique way of being is like medicine to the world. But only if they know who they are. And through that knowledge have abandoned self-centeredness. And through that knowledge feel their connection to all that is. And through that awareness use the power of their creativity for the good of all and the harm of none. Because they know there is that within me which is not limited by time. There is that within me which is not limited by space. There is that within me which is alive and connected to all. There is that within me which is connected to divine wisdom. There is that within me which is creative, powerful, unlimited, and free. So I try to remember that. And I ask myself questions to help me get back there. Maybe you want to do that with me. By taking a moment and breathing in. And exhaling, letting your eyes close. As you begin to ask yourself, your true self, not even expecting an answer, but just planting the questions. What is it that lives in me? What is it that calls me to rise up and express my life? What is it that causes me to remember that I am part of everyone and everything? And then I might say to myself in the silence of my own mind, there is something in me that lives and wants to live and wants to express and discover and create. And not only that, this something within me shows up in an endless number of unique ways, not only through me, but through everyone. And it is never done with its urge, its will to express and live. And that life within me, it represents infinite possibilities, so many options for me to try out, to explore, to grow into. It's not done. It's not done with me, not now, not at any age, not in any time. It continues, even in the presence of significant blocks. And so I say to myself, there is that within me which is not limited by time. There is that within me which is not limited by space. There is that within me which is alive and connected to all that is. There is that within me which is connected to divine wisdom. There is that within me which is creative, powerful, unlimited, and free. There is only one life. That life is God. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. And I invite you to let the next breath you take be deeper than the one before, followed by a sigh, as we make the transition from our moment of prayer to our spiritual practice of circulation in which we financially support our center. I invite the ushers to stand. Won't you please take your gift in your hand or hold your hand on your chest as a symbol of your heart connection to your giving practice and say, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. Does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.